a meeting of the Palm Coast Utility Advisory Committee. We'll start off with a pledge of allegiance and reflect.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next order of business is roll call.
Robert Wieners.
Present.
Malcolm Kennedy.
Present.
Michael Hardiman. Absent. Frank Hutchinson. Absent. Jack Pittman.
Here.
Victor Sarmiento.
Here.
And John Smart.
Here. Next item is the minutes of the Utility Advisory Committee of January 2011. Are there any changes or corrections that anyone wants to add? If not, take a motion to approve the minutes as read.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next order of business is old business, and we were going to discuss the underground wire ordinance. I know, Rebecca, you're still working
with Brian Matthews.
Okay, and Michael is not here yet today, so we can put that homework in the next meeting. Next thing would be, is there anything new on pharmaceutical disposal?
Yes, absolutely. First off, I was to get to the hospital to speak with their supervisor, and I did that. He's named Philip Carmel Garn, and he's the Director of Environmental Services, and stated that the hospital has no program in service right now to accommodate the public with respect to disposal of pharmaceuticals and medications. So I've been led to believe in the last week that the subject is going to be introduced, hopefully, by the advisory committee. Hospital has a citizens advisory committee, and that's my understanding from somebody else. So it ain't dead yet there. Furthermore, received a copy of hot off the press bulletin from the Drug Enforcement Agency federal level regarding this subject. It's dated January 28th, hot off the press, and I read it in part, which I think of most interest to us. And it states there were approximately, they're talking about the what they entitled the National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. And in 2010, that occurred on September 25th. And it states there were approximately 3,000 state and local law enforcement agencies throughout the country that participated in the event. All told, the American public turned in more than 121 tons of pills on this first National Take Back Day. Don't ask me how they came up with 121 tons, but it's a heck of a lot. I think the message is there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the visit would have ended up in our water supply.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me for a minute, Jack. What did you say the date was for that take back?
The last one?
Yeah.
September 25th, 2010.
Okay,
last paragraph. Due to the overwhelming success of the first event, DEA is planning a second National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, which will take place on Saturday, April 30th, 2011. Well, that's the kickoff at the national level for another Take Back Day. State was slated for that date. As we speak, I don't know of anything new with our sheriff's department, but I bring to you this notice dated January 26th from our neighbors to the south. Sheriff Ben Johnson has established five locations across the county, Volusia County, where they will be available to the public 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, in the cities of DeLand, Deltona, DeBary, Honey Hill, and New Smyrna Beach. So they've jumped on the bandwagon, and I'm hoping that we can too in Flagler County.
What we could do is just one local collection center without asking for that many. Mm-hmm. One would be great.
Yep. Well, the subject's out there, so we'll let it stew for a while get back to Sheriff Fleming and, you know, fairly soon.
Do you think we should be proactive in that?
Surely.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't think it would hurt to contact the sheriff and just perhaps ask him what his feeling is on what's going on in Volusia. Does he feel that he's going to perhaps go along with something similar?
Do we have somebody from the city to do that? Maybe.
We can. I can do it. I can do it through Mark Carbon.
Yeah, that'll be another chain, because I've been in touch with Kevin Byrne, who deals with the neighborhood watch groups, and so I'm done. He knows about it from me. So,
yeah, and I was in touch with Deputy Chief Rick Look.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of burned my spot on that one.
He'll come around.
Fresh approach would be highly desirable.
Let me get in contact with the Mark Connelly and see if we can work something from his end.
Right.
Okay. Any other discussion on pharmaceutical disposal? Next order of business is public participation. Anyone in the audience that would like to speak?
I had a particular question. Charlie Erickson from Palm Coast. Richard, I get to read your weekly roll-ups on the online website, and they're indicated that there was some type of a episode at one of the wastewater plants just around Christmas time that took a period of time or something to stabilize. And I guess I was just wondering what that was about and whether or not that's a risk going down the road or a one-time happening.
Well, first of all, we did not violate the permit conditions. We were able to maintain within our discharge limitations. It had to do with cold weather and how the biological process was impacted by the severe cold. And we were getting some solids carryover as a result of what they're called bulking in the tanks, the solids not settling in the clarifiers like they normally would. I'm not a wastewater treatment expert, but basically that's what that was about. And what happened then was our wastewater effluent did not meet the advanced treatment standards that's required for public access reuse. So as part of our permit, we have an alternative method of disposal, so we had to go to the alternative, which is going down to the rib sites, which is limited access areas, not public access, and we weren't able to use the effluent for irrigation during that period. So we have what basically we call it reject, a reject pond, or the rib sites are used as our alternative reject when we don't meet the higher level standards. And result of the colder weather and everything balanced out and things warmed up a little bit. We've done a little bit of research, contacted a lot of the other utilities to see what they did relative to the similar experience, whether they experienced similar type activities. Most of them did. Up north, well, you wonder, well, what do they do up north? Well, up north, they cover the tanks. So, and most of their digesters are anaerobic digester instead of aerobic digesters because they have covered tanks and they don't have open oxidation ditches and that type of thing like they do down here. There was some, I think we did add some polymers to help settle the sludge that kind of brought us in better condition until the weather warmed up a little bit.
Thank you.
Any other public participation? Frank, do you have a question?
It's Jack.
Okay, that's it. I'm sorry.
Did you have to do any supplemental treatment?
No, just like I said, the only thing we did was add some polymer that we normally use to thicken our sludge. We just added some to the clarifier to help settle the sludge.
Okay, all right. And so it was under control then. Thank you.
Next item would be new business. Any of the committee members have any new ideas they'd like to discuss? One thing I'd like to mention, and Richard, last year they did this for us. Would it be possible to have that again this year after the just sort of update it?
Sure.
After the results come out of it. Because I think it would be interesting.
We are actually, as you can imagine, we're in the process of developing the annual report that will be mailed out with the bills or emailed to you if you get email bills. So I'll have Brian, before that gets distributed, I'll have him bring you up to speed on that.
Yeah, he can come in and
give
us. That'd be great.
It's the name of the
book. Any other new business that
I do have a question for Richard. As far as for the water processing, what is your take on using hydrogen peroxide instead of chlorine?
Well, I'm not a water treatment expert either, but we have and continue to look at the various alternatives for disinfection and with our treatment processes, the water quality, all the issues concerned, our experts have determined the best method for us is chloramines, and with chloramines, because of the nature of chloramines versus free chlorine, we do the 3 times a year now, we do the switch to free chlorine to help keep the pipes disinfected. I don't know about peroxide. I'm sure we've looked at it because we have studied the disinfection processes and determined that the chlorine is the best, but I'll bring it up to our... It'd be a good question for Brian probably when he comes and talks about the water quality report.
Okay. Yeah, also the how cost effective is it? I mean, I was made to understand that health wise, hydrogen peroxide is a lot less.
Yeah, I don't know of any systems in this neck of the woods that use that, but most of them are using chloramines or chlorine. Some use ozone.
Except there's a cost difference.
I recall in some of my experience, it is a more expensive treatment process.
Right. I would think so.
But we can look into it and have Brian give us some answers.
Yeah.
Any other items?
So, Chairman, I have a follow-up question on something that Frank Hutchinson asked at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You may have remembered that he was asking whether it was proper for the town hall project for the use of the utilities capital
fund
to be used for that purpose, and Richard answered that yes, it was. But I have a sort of a follow-up question. Does that mean that if the town hall comes to fruition, and the utilities department moves there, then the building that you actually occupy now, would that become vacant to be available for sale or something?
No, the whole department would not move. The customer service element would move. So that's probably, I would guess, one-tenth of the building is occupied by customer service. So that wouldn't eliminate the need for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other ideas, discussion? If not, we will go for an update from Richard.
Water demand, January 2011, we actually had a little rain again, so demand's tapered off a little bit. Nobody irrigating with domestic water.
Nobody.
So averaging almost 3 million a day out of plant 1, 2 million out of plant 2, and 1.35 out of plant 3. Peaked out at 7.725. Preliminary average was 4.8, peaked at 5.1. I don't think this changed since last month. I don't think we added January yet. That is for the
what color are you going to use this year so we can see at least which one?
I have no idea what color they are going to use. I don't prepare these charts.
Oh, okay.
So, but we'll make sure we point that out when we get there. Next month, next month it'll be on the 3rd again, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Same calendar.
So you'll have January, you won't have February. Last time did I talk much about our capital projects? You want to hear about our capital projects? Or
the desalination project.
Well, the desalination project, as we said, is moving right along at a pace. We're proceeding, but we're not proceeding as quite as vigorously as before because of our demand tapering off and the recognition that this project may not need to come online until now, we're saying probably 2018 or 2019. So the urgency has diminished a little bit, but we're still in it because we feel that it's the long range it's going to be our drop proof sustainable supply. It'd be irresponsible to not plan for someday growth coming back. Because if you think it's never going to come back, it's going to come back and bite you. So we're working on it. We have a public meeting coming up in March. Look for the postings. It is a public meeting to get public input on our site selection criteria. The Cotina Coast Group and the consultants have developed the criteria by which we are going to search and select a site for the facility. So the public workshop is to provide public with information and receive input from the public relative to our selection criteria process, not sites themselves. There won't be sites to look at the public meeting, and it's to go over the selection criteria. Very important public meeting. It'll again be held at the Whitney Lab or at the auditorium over there.
Yeah.
And we'll have all our consultants and our public relations people and everything will be at that meeting.
What day?
Is that known yet?
It is, but I don't have it off the top of my head. Look for the postings. It's
March.
Yeah.
I saw there was a bid that went out for a mixing, submersible mixing pump for the tank.
Yeah.
Is that something that would help to maintain more level residuals?
The water quality in the tank, in the I-95 tank, what happens is that water stratifies, and we fill from the bottom and drain from the bottom, and so we have issues with differing water qualities within the tank itself. So this is just an internal mixing pump that just keeps the water stirred up and mixed and consistent throughout the tank. we have our well field development project continues. The 12 new wells west of the tracks. Most of the pipes are in, and the contractor has now started working on the well sites themselves. So there's 12 new wells that will be connected to Water Plant 3 when that project is complete. It's several months off from being complete, but it's moving along. We are currently having some issues with getting power to those sites. We're working with Rainier and Fort Farnight. We're having difficulty with Rainier granting Fort Farnight the necessary easement to run power. So, a few issues with that. We're working through that. But the contractor is working on the project and is on schedule. Activation at LW19, you guys have asked about that a few times because it's visible out on US-1 just south of Delta. That project is nearing complete now. We're getting down to the finish touches of landscaping sod. Last I knew, we were still waiting on delivery of the telemetry equipment. I think maybe that came in soon. One of the last remaining items. We'll have out the bid shortly the what we call the Citation Old Kings Road water main loop. That's the new water main that will go from Seminole Woods down Citation across I-95 Old Kings and up Old Kings Road. Just part of our master plan for our entire water distribution system. That will help us move water from Water Plant 2 to the area of Old Kings and State Road 100 and west or east on State Road 100 out to Culver Lane up to Sea Ray and Grand Haven and those areas. Just give us more capacity in that area. We have our design to upgrade a third of the wastewater plant to AWT, Advanced Waste Treatment. That design is basically complete. The permit application is in at the DEP waiting for issuance. We've responded to their request for additional information, and we're just waiting for issuance of the permit. The Old Kings Road Master Pump Station replacement, that design is near complete, so we'll be out to bid to that soon, I hope. If you go down Old Kings Road in front of Hidden Lakes, there's a pump station there. We're going to upgrade that. That's a master repump station, so we're going to upgrade that. Wastewater treatment plant number 2, design is basically complete and permit has been applied for. We're expecting issuance of the permit any day now. We'll be put that on the shelf until the demands start increasing and we see that we're going to need a wastewater plant in about 2 years. That's when we'll start, because it'll take, you know, up to 2 years to construct. Still plan to implement the beachside sewer master pump station, which initially will take flows from Beverly Beach. We're still waiting on the county to execute the interlocal agreement, and that project will be ready to go to construction. We have a project under design to improve the forced main system on, basically it's on Whiteview east of Belcare. Phase one took us from Ravenwood to Belcare, and then we're going to extend from Belcare to Pritchard. That project is ready, just about ready to go out to bid. And our other big project is what we call zero liquid discharge. Our proposal is to take the concentrate from water treatment plant number 2 and put it through a lime softening membrane filtration process, recover that water, and produce a waste sludge, lime sludge, that can be recycled. Right now, we recycle our lime sludge from water plant 1 as a goes into a mixed with shell for road base. So we're proposing to take the concentrate from water plant 2, put through an additional process, recover that water. That's called zero liquid discharge. We have shortlisted the equipment supplier, and very shortly we'll be taking proposals from those shortlisted. I think there's 3 of them, I think. And we'll be moving into the design phase on that project as soon as we figure out what equipment we're going to design around. And that's our capital activity. We talked a lot about smoke testing. And last year when we contracted with a firm to do smoke testing, we've now acquired the equipment and are doing our own smoke testing. We've completed the Section 25 off the parking area. We have completely smoke tested that, and I think we found a few dozen clean out cats and that kind of thing. So we're continuing our in-house smoke testing efforts, and they seem to be working pretty well.
Anything else for Richard? It was rather interesting, that piece of property that I mentioned to you on Rolling Saints.
Mm-hmm.
That when you went up and did the aerial view of it, there was your truck at the, in the middle of the
road.
Yeah, right.
We're looking into that. I took that information and we're looking into that. So I'm not sure what the plan for that site is. Unique opportunity, because most of those stations in the middle of the road don't have properties around them yet.
Right, yeah. Any other comments, questions for Richard? If not, we'll go to John. I'm sure he's had a very quiet month. So.
Well, the big issue with engineering stormwater is still the stormwater revisions. That was brought up at the city council meeting. It was on the agenda for the city council meeting this past weekend. It's being delayed another 2 weeks for the first reading. We have worked out most of it, probably 99% of the ordinance. There are still some credits and magnitude of credits to be determined, and that's what is being worked out at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then our time is spent trying to figure out procedures for calculating all these credits and EREUs, exactly how that's going to be done, because it gets involved with the GIS department, with the engineering department, with the finance department. So there's got to be coordination and understanding among those three different divisions. The other thing we got going is two major canal crossings, crossing roadways. That's up on London Drive and down at Sesame, right off Citation, if you're familiar with that. Then we are waiting on notice to proceed for one large control structure, which is just downstream on Ditch 10 from Wild Oaks, the area where the Eagle is, if anybody's familiar with that or seen the video.
Not the White Eagle.
No, not the White Eagle. The Bald Eagle.
Oh, in residence?
Yeah.
You're speaking about...
Yeah, there's a Bald Eagle nest in Wild Oak Subdivision. It's off Clover Lane, and somebody had a video, and it was, well, it was on Toby.com, or... And now it's on, I think there's a link on our Facebook page with the videos, two videos there. The other thing that we're looking at that's of interest is the EPA and their numeric nutrient criteria that they've established, and all the lawsuits that are going on or threatened lawsuits, and what's going to happen with that. The EPA, because of a threatened lawsuit, had a consent order to establish numeric nutrient criteria for surface waters of the state of Florida, and that's been published, and it goes into effect, I believe, August 15th this year, and it's very stringent criteria. The method to determine that, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that it wasn't good science that was used to establish that. It was basically a grab sample that pulls something right out of the air. And there are threatened lawsuits by, well, there are lawsuits by the DEP and the Florida Stormwater Association, I know.
Right.
What's going to happen with that, it's anybody's guess at this time. It's kind of a political football. But there will still be, because the state, if EPA doesn't put these criteria on the state through the total maximum daily load program, will establish criteria for discharge of surface water. Stormwater will have to have a water quality element to our designs and products. So we're looking at that, seeing how best we can accommodate what the future laws are. We don't know what they're going to be, though. That's the problem that's moving target right now. But that is being, we spent a lot of time looking at that. And that about covers what we're doing. Major items.
Any questions for John?
I think the state's going to say that the surface conditions that they come in on the wind from outside the state. That's so Florida didn't contribute to them, so they shouldn't have to pay for getting rid of them. You know.
It'll be interesting to see what the arguments are.
It will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the state spent the last what, 15 years trying to come up with these surface water criteria through the what they call the TMDL program. You might see that acronym. It's the short for total maximum daily load, but that's been for the last 10 years throughout the state.
So would that be the entire state, John, or would it be set up by the state carries?
No, it's the entire state.
The entire state?
Yeah.
Because EPA is the federal, it's the federal EPA.
Right. Yeah. Any other questions for John? Discussion? Next item would be discussion of matters not on the agenda. Any matters that anybody would like to discuss? If not, I'll call for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.